Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Two weeks ago, a dear friend sent me an email the morning I was leaving for a week's retreat in a monastery. The email read like this: "When we are down to nothing, God is up to something." The message touched me so much it gave me goosebumps. When we are down to nothing, God is up to something. I found repeating that phrase very reassuring and said it over and over again for the next few days. But I found myself trying to figure it out, what that sentence meant for me, and discovered instead I needed to let go and just trust God and let that sentence just sit in my heart. We like to know how things are going to unfold. We like to know when we're going to feel better. We would rather see or hear a clear plan or know how something will take. How long will it take? We like clarity, time schedules, helpful details. We like answers. We like some sense of control. For instance, we do know that it takes ibuprofen, Tylenol, and aspirin or Excedrin about a half hour before it kicks in to relieve physical pain. And it helps that we know that if we return something to Home Depot or Macy's, they will credit our credit card immediately with a refund amount. Sometimes, though, we do not have the luxury or comfort of an instant refund or instant relief. Sometimes only time, healing, faith, hope, or love, or all of the above will be the help. The disciples in today's gospel needed help. Jesus knew his disciples were fearful, nervous, very anxious about the future. Jesus was talking of leaving them. Now they had left their somewhat secure former lives behind them for him. They had left behind job security, a place to live, family and friends for him. Now what? How were they going to survive? They must have said this out loud and stewed about it privately. Jesus had pulled this unlikely group of people together and had formed them into a loose family of disciples. Jesus had talked of his death in Jerusalem, but it seemed a long ways off. Yet now he was emphasizing how to handle things when he was gone. I am sure they were trying to act brave as they listened, like we do when a loved one is dying and they are telling us final instructions about the bank account or what they do or do not want for their memorial service. But on the inside, the apostles were probably experiencing a sickening feeling, feeling down to nothing. How were they to know that God was up to something? As they listened to Jesus, they were probably hoping for something concrete to hold on to, something to make them feel better. They were just like we are. They were experiencing a very dark moment and they wanted relief. Now, life had not been easy on the road with Jesus. And yet, in spite of any physical discomforts or insecurities, there was something compelling about him. And into these moments of fear and tension, Jesus once again offered hope and said, "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you." He promised the help of his own spirit and tried to make it really clear with a very simple word, in. He will be in us as God is in him. Now, the preposition in could almost be lost as one reads or hears the gospel. After all, there are only two letters, I and in. In Scrabble, Boggle, or Words with Friends, they're not worth very many points. The I is 1 point and the N is 2 points. But Jesus was very deliberate in his choice of the word in. I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. This presence of God in us is not static, but it is not also invasive or pushy. It is a transforming presence, inviting us to believe in more. More of who we can be, more of who God can be in us. But even when we hear this life-giving, hope-filled message, our feelings of tension or tiredness can still overwhelm, and we sense our nothingness and absence. But God is not at a distance. Have you ever misplaced your keys, a checkbook, a tool that you needed to fix something? How frustrating to need a certain thing and be unable to find it. Have you ever looked for an item that you thought was lost and then found it right there in plain sight? I recently spent a long time looking for my car keys and found the keys on the bathroom counter. Of course, the last place I'd been there before searching the rest of my house. And I found them when I finally needed to go back to the bathroom again. In our first reading, Paul speaks about people searching for God. Even now, people continue to search for God. Where can God be found? Paul says that God is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. There is that preposition again, that little word in. In God we live and move and have our being. Even if we don't feel God, we are in God. Friday, a young adult who was loosely connected to our parish texted me in the morning asking if she or he could call later in the afternoon. They were facing something very difficult. Later in the afternoon, instead of a phone call, I received another text. The text message began by saying time had gotten away from them, but basically, here are the questions I will be asking, and I will eventually want your advice. I answered that what they were facing was very, very hard. A text came back immediately. Yes, very hard, and described how hard it felt. I texted back, "My heart goes out to you." An immediate reply, "Thank you, I need to find strength." I sent back the message, God is in you. When we are down to nothing, God is up to something. Another immediate reply. I love that quote. I texted back, me too. God is in this with you. And then I didn't receive another text, and I had a sense that this young adult was letting go of control, allowing the situation to be, and they would just be in God in it. In is such a tiny word. It seems it should not matter all that much. Nevertheless, here is Jesus promising to be in us, you in me, I in you. But there is a catch. Jesus added an element to what is at the heart of this indwelling, this abiding, this being in God. It is love. The sense of God's presence is uniquely activated by love. God is love. And the well from which we give to others is refilled over and over by God's love. Paul reminds us that we are God's children. We do not need to search for far and wide to find God. God's Spirit lives in us, yet surrounds us. When we are down to nothing, the Bible teaches us to be quiet and to listen, to pray and to respond, to give and to receive. What God is up to is a process, the way of transforming love. The process is our lifetime. It ebbs and flows with awareness and dryness. Jesus took time out when he needed to renew, then went back into circulating God's healing, life-giving love. And we are the result of what Jesus started. We have been baptized into his family. We call it being in a Christian community, a church. The church, at its best, is a community of love. And that love gives us power and a huge responsibility to witness God's love. Something that we could never accomplish by skilled argumentation. No logic has the persuasive power of an act of kindness. We cannot argue someone into faith. But it is often possible to love someone into faith. This week, we have our antique show. It is a major, wonderful opportunity to witness God's love to one another and to those who attend. Year after year, men of our parish and hired help drag out the big panels from the storage room and set up booths for the antique dealers. For weeks and months, members of the parish make sure every detail has been considered. From securing silent auction items to making bread and butter pickles, from preparing a cheese spread to barbecuing sausages for the gala, from mailings to collecting tickets to helping direct traffic. Many, many hours of labor go into this huge fundraiser. Money for our ministries, for outreach, and keeping the church in order. But with this gospel, we get practical. The rubber meets the road when Jesus commands us to do it, to do it all in God. That means whatever work we do this week, however we are, here or at home or at employment, Jesus commands us to love. For in God, who is love, we live and move and have our being. If we work with love, then we will find God in the midst of busyness. For God indeed is up to something. Nothing is wasted. It is the process of becoming our true selves. Yet Jesus did not promise that we will never experience hardship, that we will never feel desolate or feel like an orphan. But he does promise that he will never leave us desolate. He will come to us. Therefore, when we become anxious or feel empty, we can be greatly reassured that the Spirit of Jesus is in us, our advocate, our comforter, our wisdom, our strength. So let us let go, trust, let God be God in us and love through us. For when we are down to nothing, God is up to something. Amen.